Happy New Year, Happy New Year. Happy Sunday, everybody. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year. Welcome to church, the first Sunday of the year. God bless you for coming. Let's all stand up. We want to say welcome to all our campuses here in San Diego, Hawaii, everybody watching online. What a great way for you to start the new year that you're saying, Lord, I want to, you may not be saying this, but I'll say it for you. We are dedicating the year to God. Can I get amen? Amen. We want God's blessing, God's wisdom, God's blessing. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know a lot of times we make New Year's resolutions, and then, you know, I think it's 2 weeks we're breaking them, but let's make a resolution today that we're going to follow God better this year than last year. And every time we come here, we want to remind you of that, remind each other of that in your small groups, et cetera. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, a year ago, we all talked about 2025, and it's gone. Can't get it back. 2024 is gone. Can't get it back. So we have 2026 ahead of us. We don't know if we'll make it to the end of that year. Some of us may be gone by the end of that year. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, even the rest of this day. So we just consecrate today to you in this moment, that we acknowledge that you are God and we are not. You are in control, we are not. You are on the throne, we are not. And we thank you and praise you that you love us, that you know who we are, that you've given us another opportunity to serve you, another opportunity to draw close to you voluntarily, to love you voluntarily. And we just pray we could do that better today. And then tomorrow we pray we could do that better that day. And we just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a big high five. If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 25. I want to read a verse to you that's unrelated to my message, kinda. I need God in my life. I mean, just straight up, I need God. And I say that to represent all of y'all who need God. Can anybody need God? Okay. If you don't need God and you can do this all by yourself, can we see who you are so we can come talk to you? Because sometimes we realize that I'm not. So I just want to read a verse to you. This is my verse for the year. I'm not saying it's got to be your verse for the year. I'm not even saying it's the church's verse for the year. It's just something that's on my heart. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by power or by might, but by my spirit. And so for me, is, Lord, I just want you to guide me. I can't lead you. I need you to lead me. That's my encouragement to you. That as you think about this year, and definitely when we get to this message, that you either need God to do everything for you or you don't need him at all. You can't be in between. That's lukewarmness. That's like, well, I could do this. No, you could do this. No, God, I need you to do everything. Amen? And so let's just let that sink in for just 1 second. Great. I was on a plane, a month ago. I was coming back from Oklahoma City, and I sat next to this dude who looked like a Navy SEAL. He had a beard, dark glasses, baseball cap, and a T-shirt. And he looked, you know, like he was in shape. So I'm thinking, okay, he's going to San Diego. Maybe he's Navy SEAL. But every time I go on a plane, I always look for who is going to sit next to me, and how am I going to start this conversation? That's my thought process. So I get down, I see this brother. As a matter of fact, I put a picture up on the screen because it'll give you an idea. That brother right there. Okay? Now, if you're watching, I love you, man. So he's that's him, right? That was as much smile as I got the whole time. So we talk for a couple hours about family, about life, about hunting, about shooting stuff, you know. All his life, my life, my grandson being in the hospital at the time. And we exchanged phone numbers. Obviously took a picture. A week later, I get a text from him. And he said, I went to church and prayed for your grandson. And I'm like, in my mind, you didn't seem like the warm and fuzzy kind of brother. A week later, I get a text from him. How's your grandson? How's your son? And we've gone back and forth since then almost every week with 50 texts. Texted me just the other day. He's doing research on my grandson's condition, sending me stuff. And how's your son? Man, I'm praying for them. And 2-hour plane flight. Okay? You could sit next to somebody for 5 hours. I've flown 17 hours and know nothing about the person next to you. And at the end of the flight, you get up and go about your business and you don't even remember what they look like. Or you can sit next to a flight next to somebody or meet somebody, and after an hour, 15 minutes, whatever, have a beginning of a relationship. And the only difference between those two encounters is that you talk to somebody. You communicated with them. Now, I propose to you that all your life, since you were conceived in the womb, there's been somebody right there. He was with you when you came out of your mother's womb. He's with you all through your childhood, every classroom, every fight, every argument, every stressful situation. He was right there. Every relationship, every doctor's appointment, he was right there. Every financial decision, every major purchase, he was right there. Every major decision, he was right there. And I wonder how much you've gotten to know him. It's God. And God has made a way for us to have that conversation. It's like I had a conversation on the plane with Sean that you could talk to him and he could talk to you. And what God has to say to you is way more important than what you have to say to him. Can I get an amen? God has created prayer. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to have a series on prayer and fasting. And at the end of the 3 weeks, we're going to have a healing service. Now healing, all healing means is kingdom of God alignment. That's all it means. If you go to chiropractor and you got your spine out of whack, when the chiropractor realigns the spine, he brought it back into the kingdom of God alignment. He made it the way it was supposed to be. So in 3 weeks, we're going to have, 3 Sundays from now, January 25th, we're going to have a service, same time, same station, same bat channel, and we're going to have a healing service. We're going to pray for healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, relational healing, healing of how you view yourself. Whatever it is that's not in alignment with the way God said on earth as it is in heaven, the way God intended it, we want to pray. Now, I know for a fact that he's going to heal people every day between now and then. Some of y'all be like, Lord, heal me now. Great. Somebody's going to say, I'm going to wait because you're not ready. Oh, for whatever reason, he's going to not do it at that moment. But between now and then, people are going to be healed. But I want you to be thinking about, I want to get ready for God to bring healing to my life. How many of y'all want to be that person? Amen? Okay, great, great, great. I want to be ready. Now, by the way, who is in your life that you can bring to that service? Stop thinking about that. And there's nothing too big for God. Nothing too big for God. And so today we're going to start that series. We're going to go for 3 weeks. Travis and I are going to tag team on the sermons. But today I want to talk about the house of prayer. Everyone say house. House. Say house. House. Now, before I get into that, we're going to also fast for 3 weeks. I'm not going to do a whole sermon on it right now, but I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Go to our website, sdrock.com/fast, and read up the information on fasting. All it means that you are going to abstain from something so God can fill that void and you can spend more time with God. Whether it be food, some food, you can do a Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables. You can fast meat, chicken and fish. You can fast sugar. You can fast coffee. Some of y'all are like, yeah, maybe I can fast food. Maybe I won't eat for 21 days. But coffee? Oh, no. You tripping, okay? But what's going to happen is when you fast, you not only exercise self-discipline, but you also realize the idols you have in your life. You don't have to eat as much as you eat. I guarantee you, you do not have to eat much as you eat. We eat a lot of food that's no good for us anyway. So anyway, fast food. Fast gossip. Watch this. Let's be honest. We're in church Sunday. How many of y'all gossip? I'm seeing like 80%. How about this? Everybody raise their hand to the sky. How many of y'all gossip? There you go. There you go. There you go. Try not to say anything negative about anything, even yourself. Because what you say, your mind believes. So anyway, I guess a whole nother sermon. I only got a few minutes for this message, but fast. So go to the website, start tonight your last meal, and then after that, you can do what you're going to do with your fast. And when you fast, When you fast, you're going to find yourself drawing closer to God, and by the 3 weeks, come 3 weeks, you're going to be ready for a miracle, and God's going to do a miracle in your life. Okay, so today I want to talk about the house of God. When the Israelites were in Egypt, God delivered them through Moses with signs and wonders, miracles. He made the sky dark, the whole land dark. He put lice on the Egyptians, frogs in the water, blood in the water, frogs on the land, gnats. All these supernatural signs to deliver the Jews from the slavery in Egypt. And they saw all these signs, but they didn't know God. He was out there. He was distant. And then they got led through the wilderness through a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke, guided them through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted, and then they through the wilderness, this pillar of fire and pillar of smoke led them. And they were like, man, God is big. He's scary. Moses was going on top of the mountains, it's thunder and lightning, and God was up there. And they said, don't let God come down here, because they were scared of God, because he was distant. And then God told Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle so I can be with the people. And here's what he said in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So God was saying, now I want to come close to you. And these people were like, oh, snap, we don't know about that. You're scary. And then it says in Isaiah 56, 7, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. This house that he built was not that he was scared of them, but he wanted to be with them. He wanted relationship. Everyone say relationship. God wants relationship with you. Just like I'm sitting next to someone on the plane, the only way I can develop relationship is through communication. God created prayer. Matter of fact, God's house is not a stage. It's not a classroom. It's not an event. It's a place for communion with God. The number one thing you should seek when you come to church is not a sermon, not a song, not worship. The number one thing you should seek when you come here is an encounter with God. Because you can get a sermon, you can get worship, and miss God. And so you go ahead. You can clap for that. You can clap for that. So what we're going to do is show you the tabernacle that God designed. He gave Moses the design. And this tabernacle was designed to show them how they can approach and get into the presence of God. Now, it's an Old Testament reality, because we don't have this tabernacle anymore. But it's going to show us as they go through this process to get into the presence of God, that there is a posture of the heart that I want to propose we should have when we pray. Now, I'm going to give you a step-by-step prayer structure. It's not a formula. In other words, this is not something, oh, I got to do it this way. There's many ways to pray. The most important component of powerful prayer is to pray. Just pray, and God will guide you. We're going to give you a guide that I know will help, but there's other ways. So I don't want you to get caught up on this. But I want you to understand that the best way for you to pray is to pray with focus, so you're not all over the place. Dear God, I need another wife. This one ain't working out. Hey, how come my breath don't stay? You know, I want more money in my job. Dear God, can you tell my neighbor this dog? Can you kill the dog? I don't like the dog. I mean, you're all over the place. How many of y'all feel all over the place? Okay, and let's raise a hand, just participation. How many of y'all feel all over the place? Great, great. And how many of y'all pray, and then at the end of your prayer, you find yourself waking up because you fell asleep? Dear God, I just thank you. So I want you to remember. I want you to recite these three things for me. Everyone, say thank you. Here's your prayer structure. If you remember this, you can do this. Pray for 5 minutes. You can pray for 5 hours. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Second step, say sorry.
Sorry.
Say sorry.
Sorry.
Third step, say please.
Please.
Say please.
Please.
Okay, let's do it one more time. Say what?
Thank you. Sorry. Please.
Great. You got it. That's it. Let me say it one more time.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
Ah. Oh. It's on the screen. Take it off the screen. I want to see if they memorize it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Ready, ready, ready? You guys are cheating. You didn't want to tell me. It's lying right in front of me on Sunday. Ready? One more.
Thank you. Sorry. Please.
Very good. One more time.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, big picture. Thank you is simply praise, thanksgiving, worship, gratitude. You can't say, God, I love you and I hate you at the same time. Thank you. First thing you should do is thank God. Next thing, sorry, confession and repentance. I'm sorry, God. Two different things. Don't mix them. And then please, God, I want you to pray for my friends and family and enemies, and I want to pray for myself. Simple. You can do that driving home. Wherever campus you're at, you got a 10-minute ride, spend 3 minutes thanking God, say 3 minutes confessing sin, say 3 minutes asking for yourself. Simple. Stay focused. So here's the tabernacle. Here's the flow. So to the right is the eastern gate over here. And that eastern gate is where the Israelites would come into the tabernacle. There are three sections. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and then there's the most holy place. So right here, I'm gonna go here, right here is the east gate where they would come in. Now I'm over here, they would come in, and they would sacrifice on the altar, they would give their sacrifice. First thing they would do is say, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come into your presence. Obviously, that sacrifice represents Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and his sacrifice gives us entrance into God's presence. But the first thing they did was they would give sacrifice to God and acknowledge that God was worthy of their praise. The very first thing you want to do when you pray is to say, God, I thank you. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter his gates, that east gate that's on the right side, you enter that gate and you first thing you want to say is thank you. You do not want to come into God's presence and pray, and you come into your prayer time and you go, yo, 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 yo. No, 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 no. Because what you're saying to God when you say yo, 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 is that me and you are the same. Or maybe he's below you, but he ain't up here. You ain't saying yo, 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 yo to your boss. You ever see that commercial with the lady? She has a board meet with her staff, and she has a coffee cup that says Bulldogs on it. And the guy goes, whoop, whoop, whoop. It is hilarious. I rewind it. My wife's like, it's not that funny. I rewind it like 10 times. But the boss has a coffee cup and it says Bulldogs. And he's, I don't know what he does, but he ain't, you know, he's below her. And he's like, hey, hey, the Bulldogs. And he starts barking at her, at his boss, right? We don't want to bark at God. We want to come in and say, God, I honor you. And what happens is when you come into the tabernacle, and the first thing you do is sacrifice. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, and this is your reasonable worship. And the first thing you want to do when you pray is to say, God, I want to first establish in my mind and acknowledge that I understand you are here and I am here. Because if you don't do that, you're going to talk to God very differently. Because if God is down here, you're going to start saying, you know, why didn't you do this? Why? I had someone the other day cursing because God didn't do what they want. Really? You ain't cursing to this God. You're cursing to this God. And that God that you have down here ain't the God of the Bible. And so you want to make sure that you establish God is up here. Now, how do you do that? You thank him for all the things he's done for you, which is everything good in your life. You thank him for his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy, his patience, his power, his love in your life, your food, your house, your clothes, your health, your ability to swallow. My grandson can't swallow. He can't swallow. He gets fed through a tube in his stomach. Be thankful you can swallow. Be thankful that you don't choke on your spit and cause you to stop breathing. Sounds simple. Be thankful. Thankful that you can talk if you can talk. Hear if you can hear. Stand up if you can stand up. You should be able to thank God for a long time. And in this time, as you're doing this, put worship music on during this time of saying thank you to God. If you can do that, Now you are in a position of, Lord, man, I'm so thankful. I have so much. I don't know that I really need anything. But that's just step one. And by the way, if you could put the tabernacle up on the screen, notice that they're going to walk from coming into the east gate, They're going to sacrifice, and then they're going to go to the next step, which is the brazen altar. And as I'm walking from your right to left, I want you to imagine you can do this at home. Now, you don't have to, but this is what I've been doing. Is I've been walking and saying, this is my Thanksgiving station. Here's my confession, which is going to be next. And then I'm finally going to get into the presence of God because I'm going to go in this process. Now, of course, you don't have to do that, but it's a process of you getting closer and closer to God and closer to the point where you can acknowledge that he's there, that you can hear his voice. And so the first thing you want to do is positionally put yourself in the right position. God, thank you. The next part is you want to say sorry. Everyone say sorry. In the tabernacle, right there, you have the bronze laver, and that was full of water, and it was where the priest would wash himself and purify himself before he went into the Holy of Holies. This is confession. When we say sorry, confession and repentance. The Bible says, confess your sins to one and your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails as much. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Here's the thing. First, God, I'm going to thank you and praise you and honor you for who you are. And then I'm going to come here and I'm going to cleanse myself. And I'm going to ask, the priest would cleanse himself and wash himself. But he says, I am going to confess my sin to you. I believe that every part of prayer is important. But I think we don't value enough our ability to accurately and sincerely and humbly acknowledge our own sin. In other words, how good can you really confess your sin? You just yelled at a lady at the store because your frappuccino was late and got an attitude because she forgot your cream. Even though the cream's on the other side, get out of here. Oh, yeah, well, you know, she shouldn't have done that. No. That was all on you. There's a leadership tool, leadership assessment tool called a 360 evaluation, 360 degrees. And what they do is they ask your employees, your fellow peers about you, the people who report to you, if there are any, about you, and your supervisors. They ask all those people about you and how you work, your personality, how you get along, et cetera. And they have specific questions. Are they on time? Do they finish their work? Is it high quality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they have a box where it says, write whatever you want to help them be better. Oh, snap. And it's anonymous. I don't know. Has anybody ever done a 360 in here? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, raise your hand if you haven't. You haven't lived, my brothers. You haven't lived. He is arrogant, loud, he's unorganized. I mean, all the stuff, they think they know everything. Let me give you an example. Da 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 da. And you gotta read all this from 20 people. And the first thing you're gonna do is, that's not you. That's not you. How good can you, in the labor, as you clean yourself, acknowledge your own sin? Ironically, about the laver that had the water in it, it was made from the bronze mirrors that the women had. What does a mirror do? It helps you see yourself. So while the priest was washing himself, he was seeing himself off the bronze. How accurate can you confess your own sin? Or how self-aware are you of your own sin? Because if you have very small self-awareness, you're going to pray like this. Dear God, you know, I thank you for blessing me, but it was all because of me anyway, because I'm good. You know, I know I deserved it. It was right on time. I thought you were a little late, but I appreciate it, and I know it came from you, but I totally deserved it. It was totally, I should have won that contest, so I thank you that you made me win, because I was better than all them people anyway. And then you go to confession. Man, God, I think I'm good. And then you just, that's it. Man, if you can, on your drive home today, see how much of your drive home you can acknowledge your own sin. And then ask God to forgive you. Ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to restore your relationship with him, because your sin breaks the relationship. still loves you, but it's fellowship. Can't hear his voice because he's like waiting for you to come clean with your sin. So after they thank God, I'm going to say thank you. Say sorry. How accurate and honestly can you admit your own fault in everything in your life? And then the next is the Holy of Holies. Now, if you look on this diagram, this is the holy place. Lastly is the most holy of the Holy of Holies, but you have the holy place. And in the holy place, you have the candles, 75 pounds of gold is that candelabra, and it gave light to the room. There was no light in this room, only from those candles in the room, the golden lampstand. Jesus is the light of the world. And this is where you're going to pray for other people, and you're going to pray for yourself. But here's a cool thing. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you show me what I should pray for. And so the incense was our opportunity to pray for someone else. So you had, first you had, thank you, God, sorry, Lord, I'm going to confess. And lastly is please. Please is I'm going to ask for something. And the first thing I'm going to ask for is blessings on other people. Now you may be thinking, what about me? Exactly. What about you? If you really want to be best prepared to enter into the presence and rest of the presence of God, you got to die to yourself. One of the ways you die to yourself is putting God first, him on the throne. Another way you die to yourself is confessing your sin and acknowledging that you have sin and acknowledging that you don't deserve anything good because we're all sinners, all of us. And then acknowledging that other people got problems bigger than yours. You want to get rid of a problem, get a bigger problem. And what do you get a bigger problem is go identify with someone else's bigger problem. And after you pray for other people, the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, Jesus, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for you right now. James 5:14. If anyone's sick, let him call the elders and let them pray over them. We're going to pray over other people, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to pray for other people. So if you realize that there's people in your life that have way bigger problems than you. Matter of fact, let's test it Sunday. How many of y'all know somebody, just somebody personally, that has a bigger problem than you? Very good. You know, you want to have some powerful ministry? Go try to help them. Go, the Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Go bear someone's burden. And when you walk away from that, try to walk away from that conversation and go, God, now here's what I want. Versus God, thank you. My wife was pregnant. She was in labor 12 hours. First baby, 24 hours, the second baby, 49 hours, the third baby. Now, I was always told that your labors got shorter. So I'm thinking, she got sin in her life, something, I don't know, something. Now, really what I was thinking was, I'm glad I'm not a woman. Because I couldn't take that. Women are pound for pound. I think women are tougher than men, but that's just me. Amen. Come on. But when I saw my wife go through labor, not only did my respect for her go way up from where it was already, I was like, man, that's tough. There are people in your life who are doing things and going through things that are way harder than you. And when you see that, you kind of say, you know, I'm not going to complain. And this is the process of getting to a point where you can enjoy and engage and acknowledge the presence of God. So petition, the last step, is that you have the incense, altar of incense, which was the priest offering the prayers of the people to God. That's what we do. We're going to say, Lord, I'm going to pray for all these people in my life. And there's countless people that you could pray for. Countless. You could do this, again, if your heart's right. And if your heart's right when you gave thanks to God, if your heart was right when you confessed your sin, if your heart was right when you pray for other people, now you're going to pray for yourself. And most likely, you're probably going to say something like, God, I'm good. I mean, if you want to give me a bigger house, but if not, I'm good. You want to give me a new car? But if not, I'm good. Because you've been good to me all this time. I'm a sinner. And you know what God's going to say? That's what I've been waiting for. That's the heart that I can bless. Petition is praying for yourself. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and indeed enlarge my territory, that you would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Lord, you know what Jabez didn't say? "Lord, hook me up so I can be the man." He said, "Bless me, and I don't want to hurt anybody." And God said, "That's the heart that I want." Now, here's my challenge to you. If you can commit to 3 weeks, let's just start today, but for this fast, fasting, give something up, and then say, "Lord, I'm going to pray." Even if it's 5 minutes, let's go 6 minutes. 2 minutes of thank God, 2 minutes of confessing God, and 2 minutes of petition. Once you do, and by the way, add a song in your Thanksgiving. Now you've got 4 minutes, just add it to that. You can spend time. It will change your life. Everyone say thank you. Say sorry. Say please. And then what happens after that? This is the last step. The high priest, the priest, goes into the holy place. And once a year only can the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and literally be in the presence of God. And between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, which is this last room over here, right there was a veil, a curtain. And it was 10 by 10 by 10. But in 15 feet by 15 feet. But in the temple that Solomon built, it was 60 feet by 30 feet, and it was a 4,000-pound curtain that took 300 priests to wash. And when Jesus died, guess what happened? It tore from the top to the bottom. When Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," it tore from the top to the bottom. Well, God was saying that everybody's now welcome in my presence. Everybody's welcome. So you have, and I have to take advantage of this, saying, "Lord, I want to learn how to pray. I want to learn how to walk into your presence. I want to learn how to say thank you and praise you. I want to learn how to say sorry and really be sincere about what I'm sorry about." And because if you prayed and say, "Lord, I'm sorry about this," in front of someone that knows you, and they said, "That's all you got to say?" Because they know you. But only you and the Spirit of God really knows what's in your heart. But if you can get good at confessing, good at praying for other people, and then all of a sudden now you're praying for yourself, and God's going to say, "Now you're ready to enter into my rest, into my presence." So I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I pray for these next 3 weeks. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would pray every day. That they would call on your name, that they would surrender their lives to you, that they would confess their sin, that they would get really good at confessing their sin, that they would get really good at praying for other people, that they would get really good at telling you how good you are. And we thank you that the veil was torn and now we have access to God. If you would like to ask God to forgive you of your sin, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I admit that. And my sin is destroying my life. I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Thank you, God, for that. Please forgive me. Please come live in my heart. I want to be saved." As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high so I can see you. Slip your hand up really high. God bless you. 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 Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we all need you. Desperately, we need you. And I pray that as we drive home, that we would spend some time focused on thanking you, confessing our sin to you, praying for other people, praying for ourselves. And that we would develop whatever structure works for us to be consistent on our knees, crying out to God. And that we would watch you transform our life. I also pray by a show of hands, if you're saying, Lord, I want to go in this fast. I want to seek God. I want God to do a miracle in my life. Just lift your hand up really high. God bless you. All the way up, all the way up. Let me see all the hands. Great, 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 great. Lord, thank you for all those hands. Lord, I pray supernatural miracle, healing, transformation in everyone's life. In Jesus' name, amen.